So, Adrian, I was in New Orleans over the past couple days.
Okay. Sounds and good.
And I'm telling you this. I know you don't care. This is a podcast about cutting the cord. There is a reason to this. There is a reason. I'll let me preface that to the listener right now. There is a reasoning behind this because I went and saw a fortune teller. I got my fortune read.
Was that
she
expensive?
She did a tarot reading. It was like $20. She was on the side of the road, and there was like a dude smoking crack, like literally a block later. That was another experience in my life.
Oh, okay,
that
so was a it first cost for me. You $20 plus a crack high.
Yeah,
that's what you paid for it.
It's good value in New Orleans. They're known for known for the value. Anyway, I got my fortune read by this lady. She's telling me all these things that are going to happen in my life. She says you'll have a good financial year, especially in April, which is next year, so I don't even know how that made sense. Maybe I'll just continue to make money. She said, someone in my life's going to go through a difficult time. I'm still trying to figure out who that is. And then at the end, she's like, do you have a podcast? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, yes, I do have a podcast. She's like, is there somebody on there named Adrian? I was like, oh, there is somebody named Adrian on there.
You're making like, all of that up.
Adrian is going to enjoy today's episode because it's about Stranger Things. And I was like, wow, you're like basically psychic.
I don't believe
and that happened.
That.
No, that 100% happened. It's I can't explain it. It's in the cards, in the tarot cards. I think it was the death card, actually, that predicted
Great.
That one.
So, does that
Stranger
mean
Things.
That, does that mean that at some point I'm going during this podcast, I'm going to kill you?
I hope not. I hope not. I don't know. Let me. I got the tarot reader's number, so I can call and double check after we get done. If I
don't
die. Yeah, self-fulfilling prophecy. Stranger Things is what we're talking about today. Season 1, as well as Season 2. And we have Miss... what is it? Deputy? The Deputy Television Editor. Laura Hurley. Cinema Blend Zone. In the house. On the Cord Cutter Podcast.
Yes. Hey, and
I just wanted to keep talking and like cutting her off. But she managed to... she sniped me on that one. I got a little tongue-tied. Laura, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. You know, just here to talk about Stranger Things and some very interesting news. Lots of great news going on today. I don't know if it's great, but it is kind of cool. Movies Anywhere has expanded into like, were they primarily Disney films, Adrian? Is that what it was? Or is it just like?
Yeah. It was Disney Movies Anywhere is what it used to be called.
And now they're just straight up movies. Yeah. And they've expanded Warner Brothers, other film companies that aren't as headline grabby. I don't know why Warner Brothers. I know why. It's popping. Anyway, moving on. There, all these movies can now be on one digital platform from you across like your Amazon Movies account. If you purchase a movie on Amazon, if you've purchased a movie on Vudu, it can be on there. Basically, anywhere you've purchased a movie can now be uploaded to one central location, which is like having a DVD case in the internet, right?
Yeah. And apparently the library is now over 7,000 titles that you can have to pick from.
So this is a thing where you can also purchase movies through this service, or you can just add these movies to your library and purchase them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds pretty good. I like it so. What do you think, Laura? You like
Sounds
it?
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. And they
now,
have the special.
Is this something you would use though? Because I don't buy digital movies. I just stream stuff.
It's something I do once in a blue moon, and I couldn't tell you where any of those things are except they're somewhere in the cloud on my various accounts that I have. Like I have show episodes on Vudu. I have movies on Amazon that I've purchased. I have John Wick 2 on my DVR. I wonder if that can be uploaded. I didn't really check into that. But yeah, I have no like real way of watching these. In fact, I think I accidentally gave away a DVR box that had the Gone Girl on it. So now I've lost Gone Girl forever. But if I would have had Movies Anywhere, I could have had Gone Girl to watch tonight. I wouldn't do it because it's a really depressing movie. It's messed up. It's twisted.
Yeah, it's good, but that's, you know, it's not the kind of movie you watch over and over again for most people, I don't think.
Not one you whip out in the holiday season.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're running this deal right now. If you get started, you can get up to 5 movies for free for them. They got Ice Age, The New Ghostbusters, Big Hero 6, Jason Bourne, and The Lego Movie. 3 of those movies are good, in my opinion.
Are you going to tell us which 3?
I'll tell you one of the 2 that I don't like, and it's Jason Bourne. And I thought that was just one of the sloppiest Jason Bourne movies I'd ever seen. There was parts of the movie that, like, the action sequences, the way they filmed it, you couldn't even see what was going on. It was like kind of like a quick blur. I don't know. Just watch the car chasing scene in that. I know it's on HBO Go right now. Anybody who watches that, fast forward to the car chase scene. I think it's like the worst shot, like to the point where I was sitting there in the theater, like, what is happening? Did the car crash? Like, where have you seen? Have you guys seen the movie?
Can
you
back me up on this? No, not.
This is the most recent one, right?
Yeah, this is the newest one.
Okay.
It had a pretty badass trailer, so I had my hopes high. Remember where he like walks up and he just one punches a guy to the ground? He's shirtless. Yeah, I had high hopes, and nope, it just wasn't my thing. I was sorely disappointed. It's really bringing me down talking about it. Terrible movie, absolutely awful. What about you guys? Do those all seem like good movies to you? You guys fans of them? I've never actually seen Big Hero 6.
I like Big Hero 6. That's a good movie.
I've actually been wanting to see Big Hero 6, so that could be worth looking into for me.
Yeah, sign up for it right now. All you have to do, you connect your first retailer, which is one of the things you've bought a movie off of. And then on the second one, you get the other 3 films. The first one, you get Ice Age and Ghostbusters. Maybe go buy a movie somewhere else to get the Lego Movie, Jason Bourne, The Big Hero 6. If you're just someone, and then you could just, worst case scenario, you have like 7 movies, tops, on this account. You've come out ahead. You're in the green.
Okay.
And there's no, I just saw this on the website, there's no subscription fee. You pay for movies when you buy them, and that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you're basically getting like 5 movies for free. Yep. Yes,
that's
you are.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
By golly. Amazing. Other news. Netflix is releasing like a ton of movies next year. An astronomical amount. Well, astronomical is probably a bit high. But they got 80 projects on the way.
Yeah, I think astronomical fits.
I mean, yeah, I guess in the scope of film releases, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
80 projects ranging from, as they said, from the high-budget movie Bright to, like, not bad Sundance films, but just, you know, low-budget indie Sundance film kind of films. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Do you think that's too many movies? I think that's almost a little too high.
It's not like Netflix is actually making all of those movies. As we've seen, what they tend to do is just buy up, you know, pay-to-release things. So, you know, I mean, that's certainly going to keep, if for no other reason, that's a reason to keep your Netflix subscription, you know, because there's going to be a ton of new stuff coming to the service in the next year, you know?
Right.
You'll never be bored with all that
shout
stuff.
Shout out to Sean O'Connell, by the way, for that breakdown explanation, like in the Death Note episode. If you want to learn everything about Netflix and how they handle movies, that episode with Sean, I felt like I was in class. It was just a lot of me and Adrian being like, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh.
there's no issues with quality control is what you're saying. Not a big deal.
Right. I mean, other people are in charge of actually, you know, making those movies. So it's not like Netflix itself is spread thin trying to find people to write and direct and produce and star and putting all the finished products together and everything. They're paying to distribute a lot of movies that have already been made or are currently being made, basically. So,
Laura, how do you feel about this?
I actually agree with Adrian. I think it would be a different story if they were talking about 80 new TV shows, because mm-hmm. Netflix would have a heavier hand in that. And
yeah.
I think we would see them stretched thin on that. But movies, they can get a variety without trying to exercise total creative control. Mm-hmm. And I think that could give a good variety of what people can stream. And yeah. I'm optimistic.
Nice.
And I won't have to write about it because that's movies.
Yeah.
I like your use there of the word heavy hand. I learned what not touching something with a 10-foot pole is. You guys know what that comes from?
No, but we know you're going to tell us.
So. Yeah, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Right now. So when they bury people in New Orleans, because they can't always bury people underground, they have these walls. The walls of the cemetery are like homemade like crematoriums. Mm-hmm. When somebody dies, you stuff them in this wall. And like over the course of a year, that thing gets up to 300, 400 degrees. They bake down. They basically slowly cremate. By the time you're there next year, they're dust. So what you do at that point is you sweep them in to this little bag, whatever's left. There might be like a finger or something. You get that all in there. You bag it up, and then you take a 10-foot pole. You take a 10-foot pole, and you shove it towards the back, where it then falls down into a much larger hole, and then it just disperses out with all the other dust bodies that have been there throughout the years.
Mick, this is a lesson I was not expecting to learn today. And I have to say, I'm going to try really hard to forget it immediately.
It blew my mind.
If this ever comes up on Jeopardy, I am set.
Yeah.
What is, and then just say everything I just said after that. That's the way you get the money. I wonder where heavy-handed comes from. It's probably something equally dark. Like somebody born with elephantitis, like the elephant man, and he was heavy-handed, and it was because he was important. Something like that.
That was a big jump there.
I don't know. I would have never guessed that's what touch with the 10-foot pole. I just figured it's like, oh, that person's gross. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Didn't think it had an actual root. That's all I'm saying.
I get it.
Yeah. We only got so much podcast to talk about here. We got to go on to Stranger Things, but of course, the popular thing. What are you guys watching this week? The Weekly Q. Bum bum. Until Gabe adds like a creative little do thing after I say the Weekly Q.
We can just use that. Just do that every week.
Yeah. Do. What are you watching, Laura?
Well, I am watching a ton of stuff every night to just cover the regular news. But I was going to say...
The life of a deputy.
I was going to say, I watch 3 hours of TV every night, so plenty of TV. But I've actually been, on the streaming front, I've been rewatching some Walking Dead to prepare for the new season.
Mm. Season 7, I'm guessing, then?
Season 8.
8.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I've been rewatching.
Season 7 is what you're watching.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Yeah, I forgot some of what happened, and that should come in handy. Can never see too many gross, disgusting dismemberments and death. It really prepares your threshold for a new season.
That is true. I could see that. Yeah. I could see that working.
And I kind of spend half the time just yelling at the characters to take a shower and cut their hair. Because the zombie apocalypse is no reason for...
Bad hygiene.
Letting your hair get down in your face. Daryl.
Actually, the zombie apocalypse should be the reason everybody keeps their hair short, or at least keeps it tied back. Why would you want your hair flopping around and obscuring your vision? I don't understand that.
I can understand the lack of showering, because doesn't smelling like a zombie kind of get you kept from being eaten? So eventually you'll get funky enough that you just can just live that. If everybody
I'm pretty sure
that,
I would have died long before that point. So I wouldn't really have to worry about it. But yes, that's a good point.
Adrian, what have you been watching?
I have actually been catching up on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Ooh.
When the show came out, I've been watching it on Netflix. And when the show came out, I watched the first episode and thought, okay, that's interesting. And just never got back with it. Never, you know, picked it up and kept watching it. So I've started watching it again, and it is even weirder than I thought it was going to be.
It's so good, though.
Yeah, but it's good, and she is really good at creating these songs, which are parodies of, you know, popular song styles, and making them fit whatever ridiculousness is going on in the episode. So it's really good and funny and weird. And if you like, musicals and song parodies, it's a good show to check out.
That's definitely a good point. Like, do you think Rachel Bloom, just her whole life, was creating songs for just random everyday stuff? And then was like, wait a second, I can make some real money off this. Because she was a YouTuber before she got this show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen a lot of her YouTube videos where she makes, you know, does her crazy songs and just makes music videos of them. And yeah, it's an unusual talent. It's like her and Weird Al have that down pat. But she's been able to turn it into a TV show.
Weird Al's going normal. Did you not read about that? He's doing a whole tour now. He's not doing any parody songs. He's going to do only his original stuff he's written. No costumes, no nothing. It's going to be like, it's like a stunt in and of itself. Yeah. No, I think it could be the greatest thing ever. Maybe I'm just too hipster, but I think it would actually be entertaining to watch Weird Al do what Weird Al doesn't do. So that's probably something.
So is he just Al now? Is he just going by Al?
Well, he's not completely abandoning it. He's just like doing it for the hardcore fans, like that song Albuquerque. I don't know if how big you guys are into the Weird Al scene.
I've never heard that.
Big on it.
Listening to Bad Hair Day, or even worse. These are great, cherished. You guys didn't listen to Weird Al, so why am I even explaining it to you? It's good stuff. Got me through my fourth grade. A lot of hard times. You guys are the worst. The listener needs to realize the weird stares I get when I say, anytime there's a long period of silence, it's just Adrian and Laura just staring at me with pursed lips. Like,
I have never pursed my lips. Ever.
I'll be honest. I'm not sure what pursing somebody's lips, like, is that, like,
Yeah.
We're currently pursing our lips.
I might
apparently
shake a finger at you.
Okay.
How about that? I'll do
what is happening in the beginning of this podcast? We've gone so many directions. And now we're finally to my pick. I finally, Adrian, gave Big Mouth a chance.
See? Thank you. Do you like it?
I don't feel any less uncomfortable than I did when I watched that first 10 minutes. I still feel like it's a show I'm going to have to battle to like get through. It's not that I appreciate the comedy. I think it's funny, but at the same time, I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm like crawling in my own skin when I'm like watching it. I'm like, whoa.
Really? Man, okay, how stuff. Many episodes have you watched?
I watched the first one. I was on vacation. Can only stream so much on vacation.
Okay, you've only seen the first episode, which is like a half hour, and it made you crawl in your skin?
Yeah. I mean, there
just
is
so for
much
everybody
ejaculation.
Listening, Big Mouth is a comedy about children.
Yeah, that kind of makes it a little weird too. It's like dealing with like younger kids going through puberty and they're discussing very adult things, and I get that's real. I get that.
Yeah.
It's just not something we're used to seeing on American television, so it gives me that kind of, I don't know. Makes me feel a little weird.
This is why it had to be animated.
Yeah.
So they could, you know, show a talking teenage vagina without it being a horrible thing.
A live-action version of Big Mouth.
Would have been able to watch that without going to prison.
I don't know what I was expecting out of this conversation, but that was that was a big plot twist.
Side note, streaming on vacation, it's kind of a VIP move, but also incredibly reckless. Our Airbnb host had her Netflix account attached to our room. She's like, we have Netflix. But then she, like, let us use her account. Like, it was already logged in under her. I was like, I expected I was just going to log into my own account, which I was fine with.
Yeah.
But then, like, we could see what she was watching and, like, all this. I was like, this seems like an invasion of privacy. Like,
it
you're letting
does.
A stranger into
weird.
Your Netflix queue. I don't know
Yeah,
how
what
I
if you watched
it.
A bunch of really weird crap and then all her suggestions are going to be, you know, torture porn and talking vaginas and things like that.
Twice.
And she's going to have to try to get rid of all that.
Twice in two episodes have we heard the word torture porn.
It's a real phrase.
I know it's a real phrase. The last time it was mentioned, you said that was something I was into. So, I don't like this stigma that I'm attached to torture porn.
Well, now it's a given. Now it's just reality. You know that, right?
Don't make me purse my lips.
Oh, we gotta move on. Stranger Things, season 2, coming out next Friday. It's going to be 9 episodes of supposed insanity. I don't know, it's supposed to be a sequel series, so it'll be a little bit of a kind of standalone, but also build on parts of the first season. From what I understand, just from the general things I'm reading, it's definitely going to allude to things in the first season, but there's also going to be plenty of new elements to discuss as well. First season, though, let's get into the first season talk. It's been a very long time since this show has come out. Yeah. So just to, like, break down the general plot, Adrian, give me, like, the beginning and the middle of the story. And Laura, you'll jump in for the end, because I think you're writing up something for Stranger Things for CinemaBlend currently, aren't you?
I am indeed.
Awesome. What do you got for me, Adrian? Just set me up.
Okay. Hawkins, Indiana, 1983. Will Byers goes missing. His mom's looking for him, Joyce. His friends are looking for him. And it turns out he's in an alternate dimension that we come to know as the Upside Down. And there's a little girl named Eleven who's got superpowers, basically, who plays into it.
This is like, I like the Adrian synopsis. That was about like as straightforward as it gets. Like, this is what happens.
That is what happened.
All right, Laura, let's see if you can top that.
All right, well, the kids end up facing a monster with no face, mm-hmm. called the Demogorgon. Mm-hmm. And it's attracted by blood.
Yep.
And it Will, yeah, into the Upside Down. And so all the characters are working. There are three groups trying to figure out what happened. And by the end, we have one group taking out the Demogorgon, one group destroying a house, basically, to set a trap, which was mm-hmm. awesome. And then the two adults, Joyce and Hopper, going into the Upside Down to retrieve Will, which brings us to what I think is the grossest scene in the whole first season, is when he has something long and unnatural shoved down his throat.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And they have to pull it out and shoot mm-hmm. it. And I can deal with all the monsters and death and gore that can come in movies and TV, but that was pretty gross.
That's kind of like a semi-real thing, too. Like, they can put a feeding tube in your nose and they kind of have to remove it, like, the same way. Or they put, like, a tube in your mouth. I guess they do that, too. I don't know. We don't have to get into that.
And somebody shoots it with a machine gun.
Yeah, and somebody shoots it. Yeah. Doctor comes in. He's a machine gun anesthesiologist. Shoots the tube. Bada bing, bada boom. Anyway, perfect. So, season one of Stranger Things. I've always been personally triggered because it's not actually filmed in Indiana. And I'm from Indiana. And that seems immediately obvious when I look at the surroundings of what's happening. I was like, those trees aren't here. These aren't my trees. but beyond that.
You know your whole state inside and out, correct?
Yeah.
You know, absolutely everything that's in your state.
Well, the fictitious town of Hawkins, Indiana is about 30 to 40 minutes south of Indianapolis, according to the show.
Okay.
Well, they say it's a 40-minute drive to Indianapolis. Looking at like the general layout of the towns, that's kind of where I imagine it is. Somewhere close to like Indiana University. IU, for short, for all these college-learned people. anyway, that's just something that's always triggered me. You guys aren't from Indiana, so it probably doesn't bug you as much. But I recently learned that the Duffer Brothers wanted to film the series in Montauk to further draw into the Steven Spielberg angle of it kind of like being like a reference to Jaws. But they got shot down because it's really hard to film in Long Island. And things of that nature. So they ended up going to Atlanta, Georgia, which I don't know why that's like the second choice, but a lot of stuff gets filmed in Atlanta anymore.
Yeah, it really does.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just my personal side rant. Other than that, I absolutely love season one. But if I had to say there was I know I'm going to be in for a big battle if I talk about who I think is the worst part of season one. I'd like you guys to tell me, out of all the characters in season one, who do you think was maybe the weakest or one you didn't really care much for? Maybe you'd like to see their role lessened a bit in season two. I already know who I'm going to say. I feel like you guys already know who I'm going to say because, yeah. Spoiler alert, we did a pilot episode with this exact same trio. It's called the Upside Down version of the Cord Cutter Podcast. So we've kind of had this discussion before, which is good for you because we'll be a lot more put together. Anyway, who do you guys think is like the weakest link of Stranger Things right now, character-wise? Maybe not necessarily actor-wise.
For me, nobody was really a bust in season one. I feel like every character that had a semi-major or major part really had a good purpose. From Barb, who I know you are against.
Nope.
To Benny. To Steve.
Benny.
I know, Benny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had a purpose.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
What? I'm not remembering a Benny. Who?
Well, that's because Benny? He was only in one episode. Benny is the guy, the diner owner who took in Eleven when she first escaped from Hawkins' lab, and he made the tragic mistake of calling child services to say, hey, there's a kid here. I don't know who her parents are. She's not talking much. She clearly needs help. And of course, the hit woman from Hawkins' lab got there and shot the shit out of him and killed him.
You guys are joshing on me right now. I didn't even know that guy had a real name. I thought he was just like Diner in the credits.
No,
the
diner owner. Benny.
Nick, I'm kind of judging you now. Benny would judge
that. Judging me because I don't know a one-off character.
We are both cursing our lips right now. And there's a double finger shake.
Whoa, bring it out too.
Benny, that's, I guess that in one point is like a pretty like telling thing if you're able to point to like a specific one-off character just because the performances were so strong, everyone did kind of have a purpose in your opinion. Maybe not mine. Do you feel the same way, Laura?
Yeah, I think the whole cast was pretty strong. I was not a fan of Steve until the very end.
That's
when
true.
I think he actually delivered some of the biggest laughs of the whole first season at the end, just his reactions to what the hell was going on, because nobody had him in the loop until he saw this monster emerging from the ceiling. So he really redeemed himself at the end as a character for me.
Which is cool, because he was like played up as like the stereotypical kind of douchebag.
Yeah.
And then like completely, it kind of goes full circle to the end where you're like, well, you know, he's really not that bad of a guy. And now we have all this whole other drama that we can discuss later. But I just want to throw that out there. Who I will not tolerate, though, and who the rest of the whole world seems to love, is Barb, played by Shannon Purser. I thought she was a stick in the mud. I thought she sucked, and I was happy that she died.
How was she a stick in the mud?
Because she didn't want to drink. She didn't want to have sex. She didn't want to party down with everybody else and be a cool kid. And then she got killed. Which is the ultimate stick in the mud move, is getting killed. She literally looked like a stick in the mud when we saw her at the end of the series.
Oh my God, Mick. You're a terrible person. So, okay, first of all, she went to the party with her best friend Nancy and Nancy's boyfriend Steve and his terrible, terrible friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she clearly was not cool about with these people for very good reason, because they were not good people. These friends of Steve's.
Yeah.
But she went to the party to support her friend and to be with her friend. And when she does try to drink, she cuts her hand on the can. And then that's why she gets taken by the monster to the Upside Down and killed. And by the way, nobody asked her to have sex.
Well,
so it's not like there was an offer. It's not like there was an offer and she turned it down.
I shouldn't have brought up. I knew as soon as I said the sex part, I'd be attacked for it. But it's like, that was just me going off the handle. But point notwithstanding, how did Barb manage to die in the Upside Down, yet Will Byers manages to survive? That's something that I've been very confused by.
I actually have an answer for that.
Okay.
Boom, there you go.
All right.
Well, I'm between the two of you when it comes to caring about Barb. Like, I'm not furious with her for not having sex, Mick.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
That's
Let's
exactly
not,
what you said.
Please do not put that out there. I am for women's rights. I did not want Barb to have sex. Please.
Well, that escalated. But, yes, I definitely don't want Barb to come back. Because I don't really care about her in the grand scheme. But I also don't begrudge her for existing.
Yeah.
But the reason that she died was actually because the Demogorgon pulled her down into a pool. She couldn't escape. She couldn't go anywhere. Hmm. But Will was established as good at hiding. And he's very small. So he probably just snuck away and he made it to a safe place that he knew from the right side up. And so he managed to hide for the whole week. But Barb was screwed over because she was down in that pool and her glasses broke.
And she couldn't get out. Yeah.
Yeah. So she was like Velma from Scooby-Doo if she lost her glasses. Poor Barb never had a chance.
She was just at the mercy of the monster the whole time. And it used her body to breed slugs or whatever they do.
Whatever that is.
By the way, I don't want Barb to come back either because it would completely cheapen. I mean, unless they do something where it's like a flashback to before she died, it would completely cheapen her, what we've seen as her death. So I don't really want her to come back either. I just, you know, and it's not like she was the best character for me on the series or whatever. I just appreciated that she was a nice person who was trying to get used to the new status quo with her best friend having this kind of douchebag boyfriend and ended up getting screwed over. If she hadn't gone to that party, she probably would have lived.
Okay. I guess I can respect Barb. I kind of can.
He
I don't
says
know.
Begrudgingly.
I know, yeah. Begrudgingly. I'm still triggered by her appearance in Riverdale. I was fine because it like she basically just appeared as Barb in Riverdale. She looked like Barb. She acted like
didn't.
Barb.
She didn't look like Barb at all.
She creepily watched a dude
her
get
hair
tortured
was longer,
in a tub.
She wasn't wearing glasses.
She was
wearing
Barb.
Modern clothes.
She was going full on Barb, in my opinion. And I won't lie. I kind of want to see Barb make a return. Because I want to like Barb. I thought she was... I don't know what I thought she was. I thought she was a stick in the mud.
That is what you said earlier.
You've
yes.
established that.
That's just kind of where I got to stay with it. So I'll stop my Barb hating for the moment. Who I did not care whether or not she had or didn't have sex. Just want to put that out there. Mm-hmm. Cannot be explicitly more clear about it. Don't know why I said it. Who had the strongest appearance in Stranger Things? Who's the strongest character in the series for you? Who are you excited to see in season two?
I need to see some more Joyce action. Winona Ryder, I think, really killed it as this absolutely committed mom who knows she sounds crazy. Like, she knows that. But she also knows in her heart of hearts that she is communicating via Christmas lights with her kidnapped son and that something weird is going on. And she would not give up. And it was, I think, just a brilliant performance and a great character, very well written. And I loved it. You know, there are a lot of great characters in that show, but I love Joyce.
Yeah, definitely. I was waiting for you to pick it up, Laura. I thought you were going to be like, absolutely. Awesome stuff.
I recently rewatched it, and my rewatch gave me a much greater appreciation for the adults. Because the kids were my favorite. Their storyline was my favorite, is my favorite, what I'm most looking forward to. But my rewatch, I paid closer attention to Joyce and Hopper. Yeah. And I found that it was a lot more compelling than I felt the first time around. And I'm really excited to see what Hopper's up to.
Yeah.
Because he has good intentions, but he's also not afraid to get a little sketchy. And I thought David Harbour was really, really good once I started paying attention to him instead of all the adorably dorky little kids. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to more from the adults and some new adults who are coming on board.
Yeah.
It's actually super cool that you said that, because I was reading earlier today that when the Duffer Brothers originally pitched Stranger Things, a lot of the networks they talked to, they liked the general concept, but they didn't like the fact that it focused on children. They were like, all right, if you're going to make this series, you either need to take the children out as a storyline, or you need to rewrite the series and make it more kid-friendly. I think even one, I don't know, they didn't specify which network, but one network even wanted to just make the children kind of like minor side characters. Like, maybe they get briefly mentioned, but the primary star of the show was supposed to be Hopper, like David Harbour, and it would be him exploring all the craziness that's happening in Hawkins, Indiana, all the paranormal stuff. Kind of almost sounded like a rural version of like X-Files or something like that. Yeah. Rural.
I think you need the kids. There's something about just being a child in general that usually allows for you to accept things more, especially stuff like this. By the time you get to an adult, even if you believe in ghosts or something like that, you're going to be less likely to come out and say that stuff to people. Whereas when you're a kid, you can talk about accepting that there's another dimension that's breaking through to the real world. You can talk about stuff like that and not be seen as crazy, you know? Even if adults don't believe you, there's not that fear with talking about that stuff or exploring that stuff where it would be if the show were solely dealing with adults.
I think it helps that they got really, really good actors to play the kids. Mm-hmm. Millie Bobby Brown was obviously amazing. And I liked Finn Wolfhard. I liked just all the kids were really good. There wasn't really a weak link.
Yeah.
And so I felt like they were really longtime friends, and they ran into this girl with no hair, and they were all reacting to it in really real ways. And I feel like the show really wouldn't have become the hit that it is if the kids had been played by lesser actors, because all three of the storylines held up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you who I'm really excited to see more of just recently is Finn Wolfhard as Mike. I feel like as Mike, he was kind of sheepish, and I don't know. I felt like Millie Bobby Brown definitely overshadowed him once they kind of like got together. It kind of felt like Mike was playing like second banana to like the whole 11 hype, in my opinion. I don't know whether or not that's true, really. But watching Finn Wolfhard and It play like a completely different character as like Richie, the foul mouth, like swearing kid. I was actually just reading, there's a link on CinemaBlend how like they said It corrupted him, mm-hmm. where like he's up on the set of the film now of shooting season 2, and he's like dropping F-bombs left and right. Which is hilarious, because I wouldn't imagine like a kid would distinguish like a role between like, okay, I can cuss in that role, but maybe not as a regular kid. But he's like, fuck that, I'm making money, I guess. Finn Wolfhard went Hollywood on the Duffer Brothers or something like that. I don't know what happened, but I think he has a lot of talent. I think he's one of those kids that either launches into a more successful career in Hollywood, or he burns out and he's super weird and we see him doing like weird rap songs on the Today Show 20 years from now. It could go either way at this point. I hope it goes in a positive direction. Hope he doesn't go full Corey Feldman on us. But I don't know where I kind of talk myself to.
That was a really weird aside.
We're pursing our lips again at Nick.
Yeah.
That's a real thing though. You know, you get these kids, a lot of these kids, not all of them, but like there's a bulk amount of child actors who they get in Hollywood, they get really successful roles starting out.
And they flame out, yeah.
Yeah, nothing really happens.
Let's just assume for right now that all the Stranger Things kids will be fine.
Yes.
Like the girl who played the daughter in Mrs. Doubtfire, Matilda, you know, great childhood career. She grew into an adult, and she looked like Matilda still, and people are like, eh. Now she writes for BuzzFeed, apparently.
Well, that's not the same thing as becoming like a drug addict, though.
Well, I didn't say anybody was becoming a drug addict. I didn't say anybody was going to go River Phoenix on us.
Well, that's not really flaming out, though. That's just going to a different career.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I was expecting kind of a more spectacular flame out from how you opened with the Mrs. Doubtfire girl. But no, she's just writing for BuzzFeed.
Yeah, she's just writing for BuzzFeed.
A person who's not in entertainment now.
Right. There's, well, yeah. I mean, it just goes, it can go any way for these kids at Hollywood. But they all seem like, I think the thing that I like about the kids the most, like, their performances were really solid, but also just the exposure they get outside of the series when you see them, like, on award shows and stuff. They all seem like they are, like Laura said, they seem like genuine friends. Like, they all get along with each other. They all have fun. They're all enjoying this ride in Hollywood. There's not, like, one kid who has a separate trailer from all the rest of them and just is, like, you know, some super professional. I don't know. You guys just need to quit looking at me while I'm talking right now. So just feel the judgment. I like that these kids, they got their heads on straight.
Mick, I've been judging you for like a half hour now.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm just going on these just weird rants. I'm so tired from my vacation. So just forgive me. I promise I'll be better in the next episode. Unless you're loving it, then I just won't sleep.
I bet that fortune teller and that that crack addict put the whammy on you. That's why you're having trouble right now.
That's exactly what it was.
You're under some kind of crack whammy.
Oh, man. There were season one questions that were left unanswered. Lots of things that I know I personally want to know. The biggest one, I think, is Will spitting out a sea slug or whatever it was into the sink. He's eating dinner. He's like, hey, guys, can I be excused? He's just like, and then he's just like, it's cool. Like, that's not a big deal after that happens. But whatever.
Well, it's not like it wasn't a big deal. He didn't want to tell anybody. He was finally back at home. He was finally with his family. He wasn't in the hospital. He wanted to try to just get on with his life. And it's clear he's not going to be able to do that. But he didn't want to let on yet, you know?
Still, he could have killed the thing before he put it down the drain.
That is true. But yeah, he's also like a little kid. He's not exactly thinking clearly.
That's true. My inclination is just to kill all things that look like slugs.
Laura's like, when I'm puking slugs, you better believe I'm bringing a heavy hand down on those guys.
If I was a 12-year-old puking up slugs, they would be dead.
A lot of season two seems to focus on Will, from what we've seen in the trailers. Will having either PTSD of like his time in the Upside Down. It seems like he's flashing in between worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something's going on there. It's either it's in his head, it's there. Maybe he is the conduit between the two. He's Zoser. What is that Ghostbusters saying? You know how there's like... I'm Luby. I'm just going to push on past that one.
Okay, Well, we know this. We know that the new monster, which they're calling the Shadow Monster, is connected to Will in some way. So it's possible that even without him trying to do it, he is bringing more of the Upside Down into our world just by having survived it and coming back. So we'll see what's going on with him. Clearly, Joyce is going to be taking him to Hawkins' lab to get some tests done, to see what's happening with him. So he's probably going to be, throwing things up again and going back and forth between the Upside Down and the regular world. So, that poor boy.
Yeah.
Do you think Hawkins will be, like, more of the good guys this season? Or do you think they'll continue? I mean, like, I don't know if they weren't necessarily good guys last season, I say. But, like, now that there's kind of an understanding, no? You don't feel that way?
No.
Well, I feel like there will be more of a united goal between the two sides. Like the kids, Hopper, Joyce, and the Hawkins lab people, they'll be united in wanting to keep the Upside Down in the Upside Down. But I think they'll go about trying to keep it all contained and put it back in very, very different ways. And I think that should be interesting. Poor Will.
Yeah. I have a crazy theory regarding Will. Maybe not even that crazy. Okay. But I am of the suspicion that Will Byers is actually dead. That's what I think. I believe that whoever they pulled out, whoever they saved, is not the real Will Byers. And maybe he thinks he's Will. Maybe he has all the memories of Will. But the actual Will Byers is just merely a tool of the Upside Down to invade Hawkins, Indiana.
That is actually a coherent thought.
Yeah. I had that one in my back pocket the whole podcast. Yeah. From the moment I was telling the psychic story, I was like, oh, that's a good idea. I should bring that up.
that would be a cool twist. It would be sad, but that would be a cool twist.
Well, and here's my thing. You have Barb, who we very clearly saw die, who was kind of in the same scenario where she's, you know, what is going on exactly in that process is the question I have. Why is the upside down kind of like harvesting these bodies, but then Will could be saved from it. Maybe Barb was just already dead, and that's how that went down. But there has to be something going on there, and I feel like it's some like invasion of the body snatchers scenario where there could be like, there might even still be another real Will Byers somewhere, but I think that like that was not, possibly not the real Will Byers. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be a great twist. Yeah.
I've also read rumors that Will Byers is the villain of Stranger Things. Like, he went in and now he's corrupted by the upside down, and that's also a possibility. I don't know if I really buy into that. I don't think that, like, would probably be a direction they would go. Be like, oh, Will's been evil this whole time. Like, he brought the upside down to our doorstep. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I could see it if he's not doing it consciously.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of compare it to Ginny Weasley in Chamber of Secrets. Like, if he's being used as sort of a vessel for something else, like for the shadow monster or for anything in the upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could be an interesting way to explain how he has his memories, how he still seems to be Will, but he could also be messing things up for all the good guys on the surface and helping usher in the upside down.
Yeah, kind of like a sleeper agent or something.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't realize that he's kind of on the other team, but he is. Like, they've been able to turn him, but he doesn't know.
Right. And then there's this whole thing with Hopper, who apparently plays like a big role in season two. We're going to be getting a lot more Hopper, which I'm excited about. I want to learn like more about his past. He's got some weird deal with Hawkins going on now, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we know at the end of season one, he ratted out Eleven so that he and Joyce could get access to the portal to try to get Will. And he also made a deal with Hawkins to keep things secret and not go public with all the stuff they were doing, just to protect Will and Joyce. So is there stuff beyond that going on? I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it's almost like he's playing like a double agent of sorts, because we know that he's also actively protecting Eleven, or at least we assume as much, with him leaving the Eggos in the forest. We know from the recent Stranger Things trailer that Eleven is alive and well and popping out of some upside down interdimensional vagina. It's like, did you guys see that clip? Am I alone in that? It's on cinemablend.com. It looks, there's some symbolism there, I promise you. Millie Bobby Brown showed an exclusive clip of Eleven breaking out. She has the breakthrough, this like stuff, and she has to make it bigger.
I would not have referred to that as an interdimensional vagina, but since you did, I guess we can go with that.
She hits the ground. She's all covered in slime and stuff. It's like, I thought there was something symbolic there. I was like, this is like the rebirth of Eleven. You guys need to rewatch it, because I feel like it's like so in your face. You're like, this has to be symbolic of something. This can't just be the Duffer Brothers being like, the upside down vagina. Like, it's like, it seems obvious to me. Don't purse your lips. Don't purse your lips at me.
Well, it's possible that it means that she's going to be changed by her experiences, not just in the first season, but in her time in the upside down. I guess she's, you know, we don't know right now how much time she spent there after she got rid of the Demogorgon.
Well, yeah, that's right. We don't have like an exact timetable. We do
I
know
feel that, like, she wasn't in there for very long.
You don't think she was in there the like full year supposedly it takes place between season one and two?
No, I don't think she was in there that long.
I feel like it was hours or days, because I think that she, like, the portal that she came out of or was born out of. Thank you, Mick, for that. I think it might be the portal that the Demogorgon came out of when he showed up. Yeah, to kill all the agents and go after the kids. And I feel like that would have closed up if she was in there for such a long time. I think she escaped out of that one shortly after beating the Demogorgon.
Gotcha. How do you guys feel about the smoke monster? I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about it. It's not as aggressive as the Demogorgon. It doesn't even seem as scary. It doesn't even seem as scary as Lost as smoke, like the smoke monster on Lost. That thing was kind of intimidating. This kind of looks like a giant, like, cloud spider. I just don't know, like, how can that be intimidating? What's up with that?
Well, I mean, if you're faced with something that's, you know, multiple stories high, that's sentient, I think you'd be intimidated by it.
It's a cloud, though.
It's not a cloud.
Made of black smoke with limbs.
It's still creepy.
Turn on a fan and take it out.
And also, it sounds like this thing has some, might actually have, like, some clear goals beyond just, you know, the Demogorgon, you know, eating and turning people into vessels for upside down creatures. So the fact that it might be, you know, might have a full thought process back there is also pretty creepy.
So you think the smoke monster is some kind of like sentient being where like the Demogorgon was just kind of some mindless whatever. Just kind of broke through.
Yeah, I think that might be what they're going for with this.
Okay. Yeah, it makes it a little more interesting. I think that would also lead to the question of why exactly this is happening. That's kind of something that I know I want the answer for in season two. I want some sort of clue as to how this just all of a sudden happened. Why is the Upside Down trying to encompass the living world? They seem like they're just fine on their own. Unless they just want some food. They seem to enjoy humans. Did the Demogorgon actually eat things?
Yeah, he ate a deer that...
You're right. He ate the deer.
But I don't know that he ate any of the people.
I don't think he ate the people. Yeah. I think he just used them as, you know... Yeah.
To stick that gross tentacle thing down their throats.
Yeah. So, well, here's the thing. I think that there are a lot of different entities occupying the Upside Down. And right now, we've only seen the Demogorgon really do its worst. And I think there's a lot of other stuff in there that probably has a lot of different goals, a lot of different ideas about whether or not the Upside Down is enough for them or whatever. And I mean, if it is just for food, you know, there's a whole nother level of reality where they can find stuff to eat. And that's, you know, bad news for us. Even if that's all that's going on. So
absolutely. All right. So season two episodes, they got titles for six of the first episodes. So we got Mad Max, Trick or Treat Freak, which I'm guessing is the Halloween Ghostbusters one. They're all dressed up as Ghostbusters characters. Mm-hmm. The Pollywog, Will the Wise, which I can't remember for sure, but I'm assuming that's Will's D&D name. Was that his wizard name or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Dig Dug. That's from the iconic 80s game. That's actually going to be directed by Andrew Staton. You guys know who that is, right?
No, tell me who Andrew
Staton is. I can't say I do.
Oh,
I've heard the name before, but off the top of my head, I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Now you guys are putting me on the spot. Finding Nemo and WALL-E. I had to remember exactly what Pixar films he did. He's the director of Finding Nemo and WALL-E.
Okay.
He did that episode, and then he also did episode 6, The Spy. Apparently he reached out to the Duffer Brothers. He's a big fan, so look forward to that one. Now, here's the interesting part. Episodes 7, 8, and 9 are not given episode titles on the wiki page, which makes me think something big happens in those final like 3 episodes that
probably
are spoilery enough that they don't want us to know. So I'm kind of excited for what's going on there. Of course, we don't have to like wait weeks on end like we do with regular television. We get it all next Friday.
Yep.
Yep, we do.
I'm so pumped.
October 27th.
Any 80s references you guys are hoping to get? I know the Thriller, the whole Thriller thing in the first trailer, that like threw me for a loop. I was psyched about it. I like the idea of them playing in an arcade hall. Is there anything else you guys could think of that you'd be like, oh, that'd be cool if they incorporated something from like this in 80s culture?
There's nothing off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's going to be plenty of stuff that when we're looking at it, we go, oh, I can't believe they managed to work that in. That's so cool.
Right. I freestyled off the notes. I apologize for that one. I was like, I just want to see what they think about the 80s. It's not really our wheelhouse, but that's fine. Absolutely fine. We have enough time to play our awesome game, which I named Lucky Number Strelevin. Which has absolutely nothing to do with the movie that Lucky Number Slevin. I just want another cool title. It's a trivia game.
Okay.
About the number 11. So, I know you guys were expecting some Stranger Things specific questions. But I was like, there has to be some significance behind the number 11. I got like eight possible questions. I only have like five or six, I think. Five, specifically. Just double checked. And I was like, it took me like... It took me eight questions into this quiz before I realized that 11 was tattooed on her arm. I was like, what's the secret meaning behind the number 11? I was getting deep, like super deep. I learned so much about the number 11. So I hope you guys learn a little something after this. Are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
Been waiting my whole life for this.
They're waiting with pursed lips at the moment. Number one. What is the element that has an atomic number of 11? Now, I know Adrian's already shaking her head like, what is this bullshit? Like, you got options. You got options to choose from. You have sodium, lithium, or potassium.
Potassium.
Sodium.
It is sodium. Laura gets the point. Number two. What is the 11th verse in the 12 Days of Christmas? What are the 11 things that you get on the 12 Days of Christmas song? Don't you pull up that browser, Adrian.
I'm not. I see
those eyes searching.
Lords a-leaping.
What do you got, Adrian?
I don't know, cookies? Are there, is, are
11,
cookies,
11
the
cookies cooking? Are you kidding me?
Our cookies are part of the song.
11 pipers piping.
Okay.
10 lords a-leaping. Hmm. 9 geese a-laying? I don't know. I didn't type out the whole thing. I just did the 11 pipers piping. Next question. Apollo 11 is the first spacecraft to successfully land on the moon. 3 astronauts landed on the moon that day. One of them was Neil Armstrong. Name one of the other two.
Buzz Aldrin.
Okay. Now, Adrian, you can't use Buzz Aldrin to get a point. You have to name the other one.
That's why I jumped in.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Michael Collins is the name of the other guy. He seems to get a lot less of a reputation than the other.
Poor Michael Collins.
Yeah, you got Neil Armstrong. Buzz Aldrin definitely has a lot more.
Well, his name wasn't cool enough, I think, is where he failed there.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, when you got a name like Buzz, you're going to be cool in just about anything you do. Number four. What does the F11 key do in Windows when in most popular internet browsers? I'll make Laura answer first because Adrian's behind. So she could possibly steal your answer and get a point.
It makes me want to use a Macintosh.
Is it?
I have no Windows knowledge.
Does it take a screenshot?
It does not. It does full screen mode.
Ah, okay.
F11 does full screen mode. What does it do in a Mac? Do you know, Laura? Laura?
I do not.
It closes all active windows. Don't do that. You'll shut yourself out of the podcast. I felt like I needed to just screw. I'm glad that I thought that through before she actually hit it. Number five in the final question. I'm going to give Adrian a chance. If she gets one of them, she can get 2 points on this one. 3 films have won 11 Academy Awards. Name one of them.
Okay. Titanic?
Okay, that's one. I'll give you a chance to answer for another point, and then I'll let Laura go.
Gone with the Wind.
Not Gone with the Wind. Laura, what do you got? Titanic's already been taken.
Return of the King?
Oh, wow. I did not expect that. Yeah, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King is number two. The third one was Ben-Hur.
I was not going to get that, so...
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I'm surprised you got Lord. How do you know that Return of the King?
I just know things, Nick.
I guess that seems like the one that would come out of nowhere. Did you cheat? Are you cheating right now? You're not wearing glasses. I can't tell.
No, if I was gonna cheat, I feel like I would have gone for Ben-Hur.
Yeah, that would have been the more believable one.
The more impressive like one.
She doesn't have like a Frodo doll in the background. Like I didn't expect like. That's just it's blowing my mind right now. Anyway,
your intelligence has blown Mick's mind, Lara.
I can't get over it. That's just like, I'm just really tired. I guess is what it goes down to. I think we got to end the podcast because I'm just so tired. We exhausted everything, guys. Stranger Things comes out October 27th, if I believe my math is right, on next Friday, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Is 9 episodes long. It's going to be amazing. We'll probably make mention of it at some point after it is aired. Laura, thanks for coming on. This was the right side up version of this podcast. It's so great. I hope we never release the pilot episode that we did for listenership.
Because I feel like this episode was awesome. What are you talking about?
I feel
about?
Like it went all right.
Yeah. Okay.
We rocked that pilot episode, Mick.
I'm the one pursing my lips now. Is what I'm doing. All right, listener, you've been here long enough. Until next time, TV's overrated. Keep on cord cutting. Finger guns.
Finger guns.
Yeah, nice.